Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for listening to the Red Light Sports Ramble. I am Evan Witalison, and I am going to be talking some NFL draft with you here tonight. Should be joined by Jason Galloway very shortly here with Madison.com and the Wisconsin State Journal to specifically talk about Wisconsin Badgers in the NFL draft. Now, T.J. Watt is a name that's being thrown around big time is being thrown around a lot, and he could potentially go in the first round, brother of J.J. Watt. But Ryan Ramczyk has also talked about going in the first round as well, considered one of the top offensive tackles in this year's NFL draft, and see talk about where some possible locations for him he could be. So possible Badgers going in the first round, but they're also not the only Badgers in the NFL draft this year. You got Sheldon Shelton could potentially go probably fourth or fifth round, I would say. You got Corey Clement. Dario Budagawe is probably a sixth or seventh round pick if he is drafted. So a lot of Badgers in the NFL draft this year that could potentially go. And it'd be I'm very excited to see where they are going to potentially go. But with the NFL draft right around the corner, you're going to have a lot of conversations about failed drug tests and diluted urine and other off-the-field concerns, which has really been coming out a lot in the past couple of days. Jabari Peppers, and then you had Reuben Foster, two guys who urine was diluted at the NFL Combine. And right now people are making a big deal out of it that the diluted urine means that they're potheads and they're drug addicts and whatnot. But the thing is, it doesn't mean that for those that are, you know, trying to point the finger and call these guys drug addicts or potheads. It doesn't mean they've smoked. It just means the urine was diluted, meaning, you know, too much water in the urine. And, you know, I was watching Mike and Mike this morning, saw Reuben Foster interview, and he seemed very sincere. I could be naive, but to me, he seemed very sincere on the reason why it came through diluted. He was battling an illness, little under the weather, throwing up, and he was drinking a lot of water, a lot of fluids, a lot of liquids to stay hydrated and be able to try to do the workouts. And, you know, if you have a lot of water in your system, it's going to come out a little diluted. It's just how it is. Well, the NFL is not saying what caused it to be diluted. They just said it was diluted. So I'm not really concerned about Reuben Foster and his alleged positive urine sample. I think he'll be fine. He seemed very well-spoken today, not concerned at all. And even if they did test positive for marijuana, which they didn't, I honestly think the NFL should be done testing for it, to be honest. I'm an advocate that, you know, marijuana should be legal. I personally still wouldn't do it if it was, but I'm an advocate that it should be legal. I don't understand why it's illegal. It should be the person's personal choice or not to smoke, and it should be a banned substance. It really shouldn't. But, you know, just some comments too were made. You had Bill Polian. Bill Polian. He was on one of the shows on ESPN the other day. He was talking about how he doesn't think that any player that's ever used and tested positive for marijuana at the Combine has ever been a successful NFL player. That's the comment Bill Polian made. Well, Bill, have you not heard of Randy Moss? Have you not heard of Warren Sapp, two guys in the NFL Hall of Fame? They both tested positive. Their draft stock fell a little bit. However, they got drafted and they had really stellar NFL careers. To me, marijuana is not a character flag. It's not a red flag for character flaws. Yes, I get it that they should not be testing positive at the combine. It's a banned substance at the moment. It's illegal, and you have plenty of time that to know that you're going to be tested. There's no excuse, per se, to come back positive. However, I just think too much is being made out of nothing. That's my personal opinion on it. Too much to do about nothing. You know, it's marijuana. You know, it's something to be going the next who knows how many years. And if they want to do it on their free time, that's fine if they want to do that. But I'm just tired of hearing about diluted urine already. And the draft hasn't even happened yet. So Reuben Foster Div, due to diluted urine sample. And now the question is the draft stock going to fall? And Reuben Foster is one that people were thinking was going to take a hit a little bit due to the issues that he had at the combine and some medical concerns, especially with the shoulder. But if Reuben Foster is still sitting there on the board for whatever reason at number 29 and Ted Thompson passes on him, I'm going to be one upset Packer fan. Reuben Foster is he's one of my favorite players in the draft this year. He's a game changer. He is a guy that would change the tone of the defense with just him alone as a rookie. He's sideline to sideline. He is a tackling machine, and he's an intense player. He brings it, and he can cover. He would be the guy that the defense has been missing since 2011 with the Desmond Bishop got hurt. I think it was 2011 or favored weak, soft, in the middle since then. You know, Ted Thompson doesn't value middle linebackers, and how great Desmond Bishop was, I think he was a fifth or sixth round draft pick. Packers got lucky with Desmond Bishop. But Reuben Foster as a rookie would be a huge upgrade over who they got right now. It'd be a huge upgrade over who they have right now. And, you know, he would be an instant starter, instant culture change to that defense. So that's my thought on Reuben Foster. If he somehow were to fall at 29, I would hope that the Packers were to jump at him. Other NFL draft news, Ohio State's Garen Conley stocks in limbo. He's apparently being investigated after sexual assault allegations have arose, and now he's being looked at and investigated by Cleveland PD. And, you know, it's very unfortunate, if he did it, you know, he needs to be punished to the fullest extent of the law. If it's another Lavelle Collins, I believe his name was, offensive guard out of LSU, where rumors started that the police were investigating him for, I want to say homicide. I mean, you know, something along those lines. For the death of some woman that he used to date. When it came out that he was a person of interest, he went from being probably a top 50 draft pick to not drafted at all and signed as an undrafted free agent by the Cowboys. So that's why I said if the allegations against him are false, I feel very bad for the kid. But if he did do it, if he did sexually assault someone, then he needs to be punished to the fullest extent of the law. But I'm excited for the NFL draft. So T.J. Watt, you know, hell of a football player. I know people are going to probably call me a homer for saying that, but I just think T.J. Watt's a hell of a football player. He is a guy that brings it. He had a great combine, 6'5", 236, had a great combine, good measurable. He is a guy that gets after the quarterback. He brings it each and every down, and He has a motor like his brother. At the combine, he ran a 4.69 40, 21 reps on the bench, 37-inch vertical, 128-inch broad jump, 6.79 second three cone drill, 4.13 20-yard shuttle, and 11.2 60-yard shuttle. Really good NFL combine. Did really well. There also are some concerns. you know, he has some knee injury concerns. Only started for a year at Wisconsin at the position. And obviously there's some concerns. And, yeah, there's definitely concerns with T.J. Watt. But he is a football player. Like his brother, he's a football player. He's going to bring it. And he's a guy that I would love to see in green and gold. The Packers desperately need pass rushers, edge rushers, guys that can set the edge. And that's something that T.J. Watt would do. I think he would really do that. Now, if T.J. Watt, and we want to keep the Wisconsin angle here, if T.J. Watt is gone, there is an alternative for the Packers, and that is Vince Beagle, 6'3", 246 pounds, 4.67 combine, 40-yard dash combine, 33.5-inch vertical. You know, he's a nice ball player too. He's gonna have a very solid NFL career. I think Beagle is a guy that can be. I don't know if he's gonna be a superstar, but he's a guy that can make a very solid NFL career for himself. He is a tad undersized, but he's a guy at Wisconsin that played middle linebacker and outside linebacker, moved around a lot, and he'll be probably around in the fourth or fifth round. He's a guy the Packers can take there that can be a pretty solid edge rusher and a guy that can play some middle. Issues of senior year could be a concern for some, but he's a big effort guy. He's going to bring it each and every play. He's going to make life miserable for whoever's guarding him, like T.J. Watt. So if T.J. Watt's gone when the Packers select, if T.J. Watt's been drafted, they can wait and maybe take McBeagle in the later rounds. And, you know, I'm not saying they need the Badgers need to take every Wisconsin Badger option there is. I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying that, you know, because this is a Wisconsin, you know, I'm talking a lot of Wisconsin here. I don't think Jason's going to join us tonight. But, you know, that's why this is kind of heavy Wisconsin themed. But I just, you know, I would love to see Vince Beagle or T.J. Watt in Wisconsin. Rushing opposite of Nick Perry and with Clay Matthews rushing up the middle, I think it would be, a very scary for an opposing offense to try to stop. And like I said, I would not want to guard or not want to try to block Vince Beagle or T.J. Watt. But some other Badgers that could go in the draft, first round tackle Ryan Ramczyk. He'll be one of the top three tackles taken in the draft. Then you have Corey Clement, likely a, I would say probably fifth round pick. I mentioned Vince Beagle, and you got Dare Arubagawe. Probably butcher his name there. He might get drafted too. And for me personally, if I had to pick a running back between Corey Clement and Dare, who is probably going to have a better NFL career, personally would say Dare. I look at him. He's a guy who can catch the ball in the backfield. He can. He's another effort guy. He can catch the ball in the backfield. He can run the ball, he can catch the ball, he can block. He's 5'11", 205 pounds, not the fastest guy there is, but he's a guy that can, he's a guy that you can put in on third downs or as a spell guy. You know, when you need to give a guy a break, Dari's a guy that can be that guy to spell your starter. He reminds me of a guy that, like a Terrell Fletcher. When you had Terrell Fletcher and Brett Maugham, and I know Brett Maugham didn't work out for some off-the-field issues for the most part, and the biggest reason why. But you had Terrell Fletcher and Brett Maugham. Most people before Brett Maugham got in trouble were thinking Brett Maugham was going to be the better option in the NFL, and Terrell Fletcher ended up having a very long NFL career for himself. And I think that with Dare is going to I think that's what Dari is going to make a niche for himself in the NFL. And being the third down back who can catch the ball and block. So, that's my thought with Wisconsin guys. I put a little third with Watt and Beagle and Dari a little bit, but that's my thought. And I'm excited for the NFL draft. I love watching. I'm not going to get to watch it as much as I normally do, but I do love the NFL draft. And tomorrow's show, I will go team by team, and if I was the general manager for the team, this is where I would look. There may be some picks for the first round. There may be some picks that you think I am a moron, but that's okay because if I was the general manager of this team, this is who I would take. That's what I'm going to do in tomorrow's show. And it should be an exciting show, and I'm going to try to get on Thursday to do a show, talk about the first round a little bit, but it all depends on the first round does come to a close. I'm not sure when that could be. So, moving on, I just want to talk about this really quick. The Brewers beat the Cincinnati Reds again. Eric Thames did homer once again against the Reds. Eighth time this year he's homered against the Reds, and he set the Brewers record for most home runs in April with 11, and there's still about a week left in the year. And here's what I kind of want to bring up. Chuck Freeman, who works for 105.7 The Fan in Milwaukee, he was a sports writer there and AM's host, he was at the game today covering it for the Milwaukee Brewers. Chuck Freeman was there, and he tweeted something out that makes me kind of, shake my head a little bit. He tweets out, quote, about Eric Thames. They did another drug test on Thames tonight. This time they drew blood. Very odd. For the record, they tested Shaw after the game, too, had a patch on his arm. So Eric Thames tested a second time this year. I don't know how often players get tested during the year. But we're not even through April, and this is the second time Eric Thames has been tested. That kind of pisses me off. And really, it's all because John Lackey for the Chicago Cubs decided to be a smartass when asked about Eric Thames. He said, Eric Thames' home run in the Cubs series, it really makes you wonder, and winked. So he was basically insinuating that Eric Thames is using something. And now he gets tested now twice, and we're not even through April yet. Can't the guy just be damn good at baseball? And, PEDs, they might give you better strength. Steroids might give you better strength, might give you better power, but it doesn't help you be patient at the plate. It doesn't help you see the ball better. So Eric Thames is a guy who's forcing pitchers to have to pitch to him. He's taking walks. He's being patient at the plate. He has an incredible OPS right now. I think I saw on Twitter it's one of the top 50 in baseball history behind Barry Bonds. I mean, not Barry Bonds, Babe Ruth. For OPS is on base percentage. But it's ridiculous that he was tested again. And he had this quote to say, Adam McKelvey tweeted this out, if people keep thinking I'm on stuff, I'll be here every day. I have a lot of blood in here. But it's ridiculous because he shouldn't be tested every day. He shouldn't have to be. He shouldn't have to be being tested all the time. This is the second time he's been tested already. And to me, that's bullcrap. I've liked what Eric Thames has done. And until something proves otherwise, to me, he's clean. And we're in a situation, unfortunately, in baseball today, thanks to the steroid era, that we can't just enjoy, a big month that somebody's having. And who knows? maybe May rolls around and Eric Thames starts to struggle a little bit. I hope not. I love watching Thames play. But I wonder what would happen if that would have been a Brewer pitcher making a comment like John Lackey did. I wonder what would have happened if a Brewer pitcher made the exact same comment, let's say, about Anthony Rizzo or Chris Bryant. I guarantee you there'd be a ton of outrage on all the talking head networks, ESPN, MLB Network, all this media, the Chicago Tribune. They would all be attacking, Chase Anderson or Jimmy Nelson if they even hinted that they were using something. But the Cubs can do it. John Lackey can do it. And everyone just kind of acts like it doesn't happen unless you're a Brewer fan. So that's the show for today. If you want to give me a follow on Twitter, at Evan Witt Sports, that's at Evan Witt Sports, give me a follow. Let me know what you think of the show. Let me know what you think of tonight's episode or any show in general. Last night I interviewed a gentleman from the Norman Transcript, John. I want to make sure so I get his name right. John McCabe. He's on the show yesterday talking to Joe Mixon in Oklahoma about draft and a little bit about Oklahoma spring game and spring practice. So make sure to give that a listen. And I want to thank you all for supporting me and the Red Light Sports Network. Hopefully we can get Troy back on here soon to join me, at least, maybe an episode a week or something like that. But, Troy will join when he's able to, just on a sabbatical at the moment. So thank you for listening. You've been listening to Red Light Sports Ramble. I am Evan Witalison, your host. And I want to thank you all once again for listening. Have a good night, everybody.